Moby Dick, Disc 8.
At any time it is a strange sight to the tyro to see with what wondrous habitude of unconscious skill the whaleman will maintain an erect posture in his boat, even when pitched about by the most riotously perverse and cross-running seas. Still more strange to see him giddily perched upon the loggerhead itself under such circumstances. But the sight of little Flask mounted upon gigantic Dagoo was yet more curious, for sustaining himself with a cool, indifferent, easy, unthought-of, barbaric majesty, the noble negro to every roll of the sea harmoniously rolled his fine form. On his broad back, flaxen-haired Flask seemed a snowflake. The bearer looked nobler than the rider. Though, truly, vivacious, tumultuous, ostentatious little Flask would now and then stamp with impatience, but not one added heave did he thereby give to the negro's lordly chest. So have I seen passion and vanity stamping the living magnanimous earth, but the earth did not alter her tides and her seasons for that. Meanwhile Stubb, the second mate, betrayed no such far-gazing solicitudes. The whales might have made one of their regular soundings, not a temporary dive from mere fright. And if that were the case, Stubb, as is wont in such cases, it seems, was resolved to solace the languishing interval with his pipe. He withdrew it from his hatband, where he always wore it aslant like a feather. He loaded it and rammed home the loading with his thumb end. But hardly had he ignited his match across the rough sandpaper of his hand, when Tashtego, his harpooner, whose eyes had been setting to windward like two fixed stars, suddenly dropped like light from his erect attitude to his seat, crying out in a quick frenzy of hurry, "Down, down all, and give way! There they are!" To a landsman no whale, nor any sign of a herring, would have been visible at that moment. Nothing but a troubled bit of greenish-white water, and thin, scattered puffs of vapor hovering over it and suffusingly blowing off to leeward like the confused scud from white rolling billows. The air around suddenly vibrated and tingled, as it were, like the air over intensely heated plates of iron. Beneath this atmospheric waving and curling, and partially beneath a thin layer of water also, the whales were swimming. Seen in advance of all the other indications, the puffs of vapor they spouted seemed their forerunning couriers and detached flying outriders. All four boats were now in keen pursuit of that one spot of troubled water and air, but it bade far to outstrip them. It flew on and on as a mass of interblending bubbles borne down a rapid stream from the hills. "Pull, pull, my good boys," said Starbuck in the lowest possible but intensest concentrated whisper to his men, while the sharp fixed glance from his eyes darted straight ahead of the bow almost seemed as two visible needles in two unerring binnacle compasses. He did not say much to his crew, though, nor did his crew say anything to him. Only the silence of the boat was at intervals startlingly pierced by one of his peculiar whispers, now harsh with command, now soft with entreaty. How different the loud little kingpost! "Sing out and say something, my hearties! Roar and pull, my thunderbolts! Beach me on their black backs, boys! Only do that for me, and I'll sign over to you my Martha's Vineyard plantation, boys, including wife and children, boys! Lay me on, oh Lord, Lord, but I shall go stark staring mad! See that white water!" And so shouting, he pulled his hat from his head and stamped up and down on it, then picking it up, flirted it far off upon the sea, and finally fell to rearing and plunging in the boat's stern like a crazed colt from the prairie. "Look at that chap now," philosophically drawled Stubb, who, with his unlighted short pipe mechanically retained between his teeth at a short distance, followed after. "He's got fits, that Flask has. Fits? Yes, give him fits, that's the very word. Pitch fits into him. Merrily, merrily, hearts alive, pudding for supper, you know. Merry's the word. Pull, babes, pull, sucklings, pull all. But what the devil are you hurrying about? Softly, softly, and steadily, my men. Only pull and keep pulling, nothing more. Crack all your backbones and bite your knives in two, that's all. Take it easy, why don't you take it easy, I say, and burst all your livers and lungs." But what it was that inscrutable Ahab said to that tiger-yellow crew of his, these were words best omitted here. For you live under the blessed light of the evangelical land. Only the infidel sharks and the audacious seas may give ear to such words, when with tornado brow and eyes of red murder and foam-glued lips, Ahab leaped after his prey.